91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. This hour, we learn more about the famous Mel Fisher family, which continues to search for sunken treasure from their base in Key West. Good afternoon, it's Bonnie Berman with Joseph Cooper. The late Mel Fisher is still considered the world's greatest treasure hunter. We'll visit with writer Monty Joines, the author of For Love and Treasure, which chronicles both the Fisher family and its treasure legacy. The most famous, of course, is the Spanish galleon Atocha, discovered in 1985. It had sunk in 1622, filled to the gills with gold and silver treasure. It's likely even more of the wrecked Atocha is still buried. So stay tuned. Topical Currents goes treasure diving after the news.
And 6 minutes, 30 seconds past 1 o'clock. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, another Monday edition. Bonnie, how are we doing on the pledge?
We're doing. We have a ways to go.
We've got to keep going.
Yes, we need to wrap this up as soon as we can. The sooner we can wrap it up, the sooner we're done with this interruption.
That sounds wonderful to
yes.
me. I'm sure to our listeners as well.
To all of us.
Well, this hour we focus on the famous Mel Fisher family, known worldwide for their discovery of centuries-old sunken ships.
The Fishers not only recovered fabulous amounts of lost booty, they pioneered ocean search technology and also made legal landmarks. We'll learn more about the Key West-based Fishers with author Monty Joines.
He's written a biography of the family called For Love and Treasure, The Life and Times of the World's Most Successful Treasure-Hunting Family. And Monty joins us now from Boone, North Carolina. Welcome to you, Monty. Glad you could join
Joe
us.
Hey, Joe and Bonnie. Thank you very much. I'm up here at 4,000 feet in the mountains.
Sounds good.
Nice.
Any snow yet?
Oh, no, but we had our first frost last night.
Ah, okay. Let's start out by explaining why the east coast of Florida became literally the greatest treasure hunting ground in the world.
In the world. Well, the Spanish had an empire that, especially during the 15th, 16th, and 17th century. And Havana was very developed, and the Spanish also had colonies all across South America and Central America, and they had three fleets. The Manila fleet came all the way from to Acapulco, Mexico, from the Philippines, and brought all the treasures of the Far East. And so they would land at Veracruz at Acapulco, and then the goods would be carried overland to Veracruz. Then they'd go to Havana. They had a South Seas fleet that was also worked the Pacific Ocean side of South America and brought gold and silver from Peru and Ecuador to Panama, and then eventually it wound up in Havana. Then there was a Terra Firma fleet that worked out of Cartagena. And they brought everything. So you had three fleets that converged on Havana and brought all the wealth that Spain had plundered from the New World. Mm. And it also included indigo and a lot of products, wood and things like that, that they also needed for the Spanish Empire. Spain was always at war, always at desperate for that treasure, which would, you know, be, in today's money, just hundreds of millions of dollars, to support their empire. So then the combined fleets, maybe as many as 20 vessels, and some of them were armed to the teeth because the English pirateers and the Dutch, you know, tried to steal that treasure from the Spanish armadas. And so they would sail out of Havana, and they would go up the coast of Florida all the way up to near, just beyond Bermuda, and then they would pick up a latitude that would take them directly across the Atlantic Ocean to Seville. Well, if you got past August and you got into the hurricane season,
right,
it was a risky gamble. And so for over 300 years, the treasure fleets that tried to sail out of Havana hit storms and deposited treasure all up the Florida Keys and as far away as Virginia.
Well, obviously, over these hundreds of years, the Spanish put it together that they shouldn't be shipping these things during hurricane season, but they continued to do so. Why?
They didn't have a weather channel.
Well, but still they knew when most of them struck.
Yeah, they did. And in this particular case, they were talking about the Atocha and the Santa Margarita, they got away late. And it was, and they knew that, and it was discussed at the highest levels about whether they should dare it, because they didn't get away until September, because the all the cargoes from the rest of the world that were flowing into Havana were coming late, but the decision was made by one of the senior admiral that they would risk it because they were getting fast ships from Spain, from Philip the King, was saying, "Where's my treasure? Where's my treasure?" Because he was in desperate need. Spain was, for all their wealth and empire, at times they were almost bankrupt. And so he demanded that they sail. And they it was arguably very late in the season.
Are there any estimates as to the value of all the treasure, sunken treasure, that's still on the coast?
It's in the billions. It's in the billions. Just think about the Santa Margarita and the Atocha, and then think about the 1715 fleet, that a lot of it went aground off of Fort Pierce. That's where the fishers found their first gold and silver in 1964. But just alone from the Santa Margarita and the Atocha, the fishers have taken $500 million. So that was just two ships. And not all the treasure from those two ships was found. The great thing, the stern castle of the Atocha, has never been found. And it is supposedly, there's evidence that it's loaded with emeralds, because it was the biggest emerald year in the emerald mine history. And they think there's a chest of emeralds that might be worth $1 billion in today's dollars. So you're really talking about, unimaginable wealth.
Well, Mel Fisher was a dive shop operator. When did the treasure hunting bug hit him?
Mel is one of the most unique figures in all of adventure history. And he was a chicken farmer at one time. But when scuba was introduced in the 1950s, he got hold of a scuba tank, and he became a spear fisherman off of the Pacific. He was living in Los Angeles, and he became a famous spear fisherman. In the early days of underwater exploration with scuba, it made us, accessible to all kinds of waters and shipwrecks. He had a television show out of Los Angeles called High Road to Adventure. And he ultimately certified, he created the first scuba training course in the United States, and he certified and equipped an estimated 65,000 people. And he became rich, selling equipment to people and getting them into scuba diving. His beautiful young wife, Dio, set an endurance record in scuba gear at the age of 23, and that set off a mad dash for young women to get into scuba diving. And, they were really at the heart of building interest in scuba diving in the United States.
What he began treasure hunting in the Pacific and the Caribbean. What brought him to Florida?
Well, he was no fool. He was reading all the trades, and all the gossip. And that was coming out of, from wherever. And Florida, he read newspaper accounts, magazine accounts of divers. In fact, summer tourists off of Fort Pierce and Fort Lauderdale had walked into the sand, to knee-deep water and found gold doubloons.
Wow.
And this got into the public, and so he uprooted his family. He wanted to go where the treasure was, and he came in 1963. By 1964, in June, they found a carpet of gold doubloons, over 2,000 coins, plus lots of silver coins. And National Geographic did a major magazine story in the January 1965 issue called Treasure Coast. And that's what set off gold fever in Florida, because here were photographs. Here were this young family, these divers in scuba gear holding gold coins worth a fortune. And I would say that Florida has more treasures, treasure divers per capita than any other place in the world.
We're speaking with Monty Joines. He's a journalist and author of both fiction and nonfiction, a screenwriter and a poet. And he's written about Mel Fisher for Love and Treasure, The Life and Times of the World's Most Successful Treasure Hunting Family. Monty, stay with us. And you listeners, you stay right there. We need to do a little business, but we'll be right back with you.
And welcome, everyone. It's Peter Jay, sticking my nose in once again at the programming here at WLRN. Well, we've got an exciting day right here. It's our fall membership campaign, and thanks, Jill and Bonnie, for letting me sit in for a moment here with you. And what's going on is, well, I think, I hate to do this, to do an awful pun, but I think that public radio is a treasure here in South Florida, yeah, okay, and worth supporting. Maybe you don't have gold doubloons at your disposal, but regular cash or credit card will work just fine for us. And what we're about here is the business of raising the money to support programs like Topical Currents, which has become sort of an institution here in South Florida, providing news, information, entertainment, food, dining, you name it. All about what is life in South Florida, coming to you 4 days a week, courtesy of the hard work of our skeleton crew here, Joe and Bonnie and Richard Ives, our producer, Polly Landis producing. Not many folks working many hours to make sure this programming comes to you. And in order to make sure that we have the resources to pay for this sort of thing, we're asking for your help now. Here is the number to call with your pledge. It's 866-247-9576. 866-247-WLRN. Online is WLRN.org. Things are going well, right, Bonnie?
They are. We want to end this drive successfully sooner than we had planned. We're looking to still raise $242,000, and then it's back to uninterrupted programming. So we ask you to step forward, make your contribution. How would you like this book by Monty Joines that we're talking about right now for Love and Treasure? It's a beautiful book. It's a trade paperback, but it has tons of great photos that were taken by the author, Monty Joines, and Lee Fisher, who's the wife of the eldest son of Mel Fisher, Kim. And it's the true story of Mel Fisher, his discovery of the Spanish treasure galleon off the Florida Keys. Yours for a $120 pledge, or $10 a month on our sustainer plan. We just have 25 of these books available. Monty Joines has, you know, generously given them to us to give to you. So please make your contribution and pick up the book at 866-247-9576. Online, it's WLRN.org.
That's got to be really cool reading. I mean, Mel Fisher is a legend down here, and it'll be really interesting to see those photos and to read more about it. So pick that up. Also, we have a very special thank you gift for you, and this is for you and a guest who could have lunch here at our WLRN studios with the hosts of this program, Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman, and watch an episode of Topical Currents as it is happening live and in person from the broadcast booth. Sound enticing to you? Well, for that, we ask for a $250 contribution right now at 866-247-9576 or WLRN.org.
And I want to say that last year we started this tradition, what's going to become a tradition, of having lunch with Joe and me. And it was so successful. People really, we had lots of response and we had a great time. It was great to meet you.
One time we had about nine, I think.
I think it was more than that, actually. Nine couples, that is.
Banquet.
So, yes. So, it's a lot of fun, and we would love to meet you and have lunch with you for a $250 contribution at 866-247-9576. Online, it's WLRN.org.
We don't have the band Europe with us in the studio today, but we would like to encourage you to join us in what we're calling our final countdown, as we're counting down to the $450,000 we need to raise to stay on budget for this fiscal year. It's already built in the into the budget. It's baked in. Right now, we need listeners to come through to make sure that we can raise that money and stay solvent and healthy here on WLRN. So as mentioned by Bonnie, $242,000 to go. You know, the more quickly you make a pledge, the more quickly we turn off these mics, at least the pledge mics, and go back to programming as usual here at WLRN. We're kind of hoping to get this done by Wednesday afternoon. It's certainly doable. Why wait till Thursday, we ask, which is the official end of this drive when we can wrap things up on Wednesday. We hope your contribution will get us that much closer at 866-247-9576 or online at WLRN.org.
And I just want to mention we have two drawings today, one for an HD radio that we're going to be giving away today. And our grand prize is a vacation for two for 6 nights at the Aqua Wellness Resort in beautiful Nicaragua. When you make your contribution, you're entered into both drawings. So please help us out. We're going back to topical currents, but we want to hear from you at WLRN.org or at 866-247-9576.
Live Nation presents Yanni, Saturday, February 6th at the Perfect Vodka Amphitheater. Tickets are on sale now for Yanni and are available at livenation.com. That's livenation.com. We're funded by WLRN members and by Willie the Bee Man. Proper bee removal requires two steps, locating the hive and extracting the honeycomb. Willie the Bee Man offers complete beehive removal. Details at getridofbees.com or 1-888-9-NO-BEES. Willie the Bee Man.
St. Thomas University invites you to envision your future at a place of limitless opportunity and success. The doors are open to reach higher and accomplish more. St. Thomas University has been educating leaders for over 50 years and offers a private education at an economical price. To learn more about the university, contact 305-628-6546 or visit stu.edu.
And it is today's Topical Currents, Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman. We're asking for your support at 866-247-9576. We're also visiting with author Monty Joynes. He's written a biography of the family called For Love and Treasure, the Fisher Family, of course, The Life and Times of the World's Most Successful Treasure Hunting Family. And Monty Joynes, a big part of the book is the genealogy of the various family members. And could you run down the genealogy covered in the book, starting with Mel, of course, and his wife Dolores and the others?
Yeah, I don't try to retell their whole story because there are 6 or 7 books and a feature film and 4 or 5 documentaries that document all of that history up through 1985 when the motherlode of the Atocha was found. So there was Mel and Dio, and they had 4 children, 3 sons and a daughter. Dirk was the oldest, then Kim, and then Kane, and then Taffy. And they were all involved as children in the treasure hunting. Kim, who was my major subject in the book, he found his first piece of gold when he was 9 years old. And he says he was hooked ever since. But you need to know that Mel and Dio were probably infected with this genome that made them go where no one has gone before, because the treasure hunting, salvage hunting, is very dangerous. And as a matter of fact, they lost their oldest son, Derek, and his wife of 2 years, Angel, in a disastrous accident, a boat accident, where the salvage boat capsized. So there were times when they had run out of money, that the government, the state of Florida, and the federal government were holding the treasure, trying to decide who actually owns treasure. And so they sacrificed everything to this incredible drive to search and discover.
Well, let's talk about that, who owns everything, because that is a part of your book, and you write at length about the laws and the 100 court battles, even up to the Supreme Court that Mel Fisher fought over the ownership of the treasures from the shipwrecks. So would you give us an overview of that?
Yeah. Now, remember, they got to Florida, and they were finding, thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars in treasure by 1964. And Florida had nothing on the books about controlling salvage hunting and treasure. There was nothing in the legislative world that governed what would happen to this treasure. So Florida got very aggressive in holding the treasure until some laws could be invented. And then ultimately the federal government got involved. And it went all the way to the Supreme Court. It cost the Fishers millions of dollars that they had to raise just to defend their claims to this treasure. So even before the Atocha Motherlode was found in 85, they won the case in the U.S. Supreme Court, 1982, and the Supreme Court said, finders, keepers.
Yep, and that's how they got ownership.
But they didn't, the major distribution of the Atocha Motherlode treasure was not made until 1987. And that was when you were talking about probably $400 million worth of treasure got divided among people, their expedition members, their investors, the family, et cetera. So they really didn't come into the fortune until 1987.
Part of the Fisher's claim to own this treasure was because of the amazing amount of technical advances they made in salvaging. What were some of those technical advances?
Yeah, there were really the standards of the industry, and they invented things. They invented all of the modern underwater treasure hunting equipment. First, the magnetometers, the electronic things that sweep the bottom and find metals, they now have become so sophisticated. They've got a $3 million investment in a thing called the Dolores, they named after Dio, Mel's wife, that can tell the difference between iron and gold and silver as it is dragged along the bottom of the water. The other major thing was a prop wash defector that they called mailboxes, and they were lowered over the props of the boats, and then the cone of the thing faced down into the sand, and when they revved the props, it would clear the sand all the way to the bottom, and it would make a pit with walls, 15 feet high, and sometimes 25 feet high, and two divers would go in, and one would work the bottom circling the hole, and the other would work the top. And in remarkable cases, when they blew that hole and the divers went in, there was, in a couple of cases, a sea of silver bars or a sea of gold coins. Gold is the most wonderful thing to find underwater because it doesn't tarnish. The silver turns black and even will turn the sand black around it with the silver oxide. But gold stays as shiny on the day it was, it was turned into an artifact. And so when you find a piece of gold underwater, it is mind-blowing.
Maybe you can answer this for me. There was a $4.5 million find of rare Spanish coins just in August.
Uh-huh.
And they waited till the 300th anniversary of the shipwreck. It was 1715 that the ship launched from Spain, of course. And at the very end, and the name of the company that made the find was Brent Brisbane. Do you know them? 1715 Fleet Queen Jewels?
Yeah, the 1715 fleet was the one that initially drew the Fishers to Florida. And it was a whole fleet of ships that went down along the Florida coast in 1715.
Right. Well, the last sentence of the article, though, on this says that the company acquired legal custodianship of the sunken fleet from the heirs of Mel Fisher.
Yeah, I'm not aware of those cases. There were times when rights were changed hands and bought back. What you have to do is you have to get salvage rights to a particular vessel and sometimes to a particular area. And then those rights are contracts and licenses which are then traded back and forth between, you know, between treasure hunters. So I think there are other people who are looking for the 1715 fleet. As a matter of fact, last month or the month before, a salvage vessel from Mel Fisher's Treasures uncovered more treasure from the 1715 fleet.
Tell us about, somebody wrote on our Facebook page mentioning somebody you do talk about in the book, Dr. Eugene Lyon, and saying how he is usually overlooked. But you do write about him, and I responded, and I said, no, you mention him, and you credit him with locating the Itacha.
Gosh.
Yeah, tell us about Eugene
Lyon.
That's
one of the thrills of doing this kind of work that I do. You get to interview some of the most amazing people in the world, and Gene Lyon is celebrated by Florida. He is the historian of Florida. And Mel and Dio and Gene and his wife, Dot, were going to the same church. They were attending the same Sunday school class. Hey, it pays to go to Sunday school. And they met, and Gene was a scholar and of the 17th century Spanish, and he spent a total of 6 years in Seville, Spain, in the archives of the Indies, researching the colonial, the Spanish colonial occupation of Florida. And so Mel asked him, said, while you're over there, can you get into the archives of the Spanish treasure fleets and see what you can find out about the fleet from 1622, the Atocha in the Santa Maria? And so ultimately, Gene found that all of the information, all the treasure hunting for the Atocha had been off by 100 miles. Mm-hmm. The previous scholars had read the documents wrong, and Dr. Lyon, you can't believe it when you look at this ancient handwriting. It looks Arabic or Russian or something like that, and it has no punctuation in it. And he's one of the few people who was really expert at reading it. And so then he called Mel and said, I've found it. You've been looking in the wrong place. You're 100 miles away from, you know, where it's supposed to be. Now, Dr. Lyon got his degrees in Florida. He has the Order of Isabella from the King Juan Carlos of Spain. He has another Order of Christopher Columbus by the President of the Dominican Republic. He got the highest award from the city of St. Augustine, and he played a role in all of that colonial exhibits that they have now in St. Augustine that everybody enjoys.
Monty Jones, we have to interrupt. We're going to get back to your story in just a moment.
Okay.
However, it is our pledge period here.
We're offering the book.
And we're offering the book, and also it's an autographed book. Also, it's something before we begin this pledge break with Peter and with Bonnie, we should tell them what Mel Fisher's mantra was and apply it to our listeners. What was that?
Today's the day.
Today's the day. All right.
All right. We'll
that.
Be right back, Monty.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and thanks to guys for having me in here once again. Searching for treasure here today at WLIN.
Today's the day.
Today is the day, ladies and gentlemen, to make your pledges of support to WLRN. Keep Topical Currents alive and well on the air, and who knows what you'll be learning tomorrow from Topical Currents. Every day there's something new. And you know what? We do invite you to pick up on this book, a fascinating book, For Love and Treasure, by our guest Monty Joynes, autographed by him and Lee Fisher. The true story of Mel Fisher and his discovery of the Spanish treasure galleon off the Florida Keys. Something that anyone who's lived in Florida for any length of time, ooh, look at those photographs. Beautiful.
Color photographs.
Nice. Anyone who's lived down here for any length of time is at least peripherally familiar with the story of Mel Fisher. And now you can find out the real story. $120 in pledge support of WLRN will bring you this autographed copy of the book, or you can make that a sustaining pledge of $10 a month and also pick up the book For Love and Treasure by Monty Joynes. And we'd love to hear from you right now at 866-247-9576, 866-247-WLRN, or online at WLRN.org.
Yes, again, the number 866-247-WLRN. And of course, when you make your contribution, we ask you to do so as generously as you can. You're automatically entered into the drawing. We're giving an HD radio away today. And why is that so special? Well, it has great sound, but you can pick up HD2, WLRN, HD2. And what are we offering there? 24/7 of classical music. Mm-hmm. When we lost that classical music in South Florida, we stepped forward. WLRN did, and we picked up the ball, and now you can hear it, but you do need an HD radio to do so. So we're giving one of those away today. We're also giving a grand prize away.
We are at the end of this fundraising period. We're going to give away a trip for two to Aqua Nicaragua, a spectacular eco resort on the Pacific coast of Nicaragua. And the amenities are almost boundless. It would be one heck of a vacation, something you'd remember for a very long time. You're entered automatically when you make a pledge, and you will be helping us get closer to our goal of $450,000, which, you know, there's no reason why we can't do ahead of the scheduled end of this drive. This drive will end Thursday evening, no matter what. We, of course, hope it'll end successfully, but we, right now, are trying to push for an earlier end to the on-air portion of this fundraising campaign so we can get back to programming as usual. If that sounds good to you, please join us with a pledge right now. Any amount works for us. WLRN.org is an easy place to make your contribution. Online, by phone, it's just as easy at 866-247-9576.
And again, we're offering what we did last year. It was very successful. You and a guest can have lunch at the studios with Joe and me and watch an episode of Topical Currents live and in person from the broadcast booth, or even once we had our guest sitting right in the studio mm-hmm. with Joe and me. Mm-hmm. It depends on how many people are there. And that's for your $250 contribution. So we'd love to have you. We'd love to meet and greet. We have lunch, and it's a lot of fun. 866-247-9576. If you'd like to take advantage of that, we'd love to have you. Or you can pick that up also online at WLRN.org.
We really would love to hear from you right now. You know, you can think about the ways you discovered NPR and discovered Topical Currents. Maybe you just happened to be riding in a friend's car. Maybe you heard it as you were surfing the dial, and you said, this is really interesting. This has to do with South Florida. You just don't hear that on the air unless you're talking sports. There's really nothing about South Florida
true.
On the radio airwaves. So here we have a program that's been committed to this for many, many years now. Joe, how many, 21 years is it?
Of Topical Currents?
Topical Currents?
17.
17 years, sorry. Okay. Close enough. And a major contribution, hundreds and hundreds of programs devoted to life here in South Florida. We'd love to hear from you with your support of this program at 866-247-9576 or online at WLRN.org. And we thank you.
Florida Atlantic University offers a 16-month Master of Science in Finance starting January. The program, offered on weeknights in FAU's state-of-the-art trading room, includes Bloomberg certification and preparation courses for the Chartered Financial Analyst program. You can earn a triple designation in this highly competitive industry with a Master of Science in Finance, Bloomberg certification, and the CFA Charter Holder designation. More information online at fau.edu/finance. That's fau.edu/finance.
The Big Friend Friendly Giant performs at South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center Saturday, October 24th. You can enjoy the wacky tales of acclaimed children's author Roald Dahl as his characters come to life with giant puppets in a world of magical adventures. Tickets at smdcac.org.
Some 125,000 visually impaired adults live in Broward County, one of the highest rates in the nation. For over 43 years, Lighthouse of Broward has served the blind and visually impaired community at no charge. To learn, volunteer, donate, and change a life, visit lhob.org.
And we return. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman. We're joined by author Monty Jones. We're talking about his book, For Love and Treasure, The Life and Times of the World's Most Successful Treasure Hunting Family. And of course, with a contribution, with a membership to WLRN, you can receive a copy of that book.
An autographed copy.
Autographed copy. Tell me, Monty Jones, you went to sea at age 16 as a cook on a Norwegian freighter. Tell us a little about that.
A third That's as low as you can get. I had boxed and played football and was an athletic 16-year-old. And at the Sunday dining table, my father, we had a guest from church who was a former Swedish chief engineer in the Swedish Navy and on ships. And he was looking at me and he's saying, "Well, you know, the Swedish boys and the Danes, and we go to sea as boys, and, you know, we come men." And so I said, "Well, I can do that." And so they laughed me off, and I went and on my own, with my own money and everything, got a passport, got sea clothes, went to the Swedish-Norwegian consulate and said, "I want to go to sea." And then the third cook got drunk and fell down the hole of the ship, and I replaced him.
Oh, my. You mean that was it for him?
No, he didn't die. Ah, he was okay. In the hospital, but they needed a third cook, and it was summer, and they're short of crew anyway. So I went on board the MS Vinny, a 13,600-ton coal freighter. And we went to the North Atlantic route. I saw icebergs. I saw whales. And then we got into the North Sea and ran into a storm that would be equivalent to a modern-day hurricane, where you have to buckle yourself in your bunk bed and in the galley. Everything was buckled down. We didn't have any hot food for 3 days. And so that was my... I became a man at 16, and it changed every relationship in my life. I was no longer interested in the, you know, in high school. Those were kids. And even when I went to the University of Virginia on a scholarship, I didn't relate to the fraternity things. It all seemed silly to me. I had seen men die, and my life was changed.
So talk about that just a little bit more about you. When you say it changed your relationship with everybody and everything because you were a man, you saw them kind of as kids.
My father, for example, he was an inventor and a machinist and a tool and die maker, real tough guy. And, you know, what he said went in our house, you know, this was the 1950s. But I had gone to sea with men. I had worked among men in a dangerous occupation, and I was not only liked, I was admired. Because I, as seasick as I was on the first 3 days out, I never missed a time, an hour of work. And then an unusual thing happened. They had a boxing ring set up on the ship, and they were teaching boxing, and I went there after being sick for days, and they knew I'd been sick for days. And but because I was an American, they wanted me to box a big German boy.
Ooh.
Because the World War II stuff was still lingering. And so I didn't want to do it. So they, you know, how peers can they make you do it. Well, heck, I was a professional boxer compared to that kid. I had been Golden Gloves. And so I knocked him down, and after he tried to hit me a few times, and he got mad, and he got up, and I finally had to put him away. And they loved it. It was the crew of Norwegians and Danes and Swedes, and they loved that the young American, the smaller American, had knocked out the big German. So I was a hero on the ship for a while.
Yeah, I mean, that's... from being a cook to becoming the hero, that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, and they took me ashore. I mean, I wrote a book about it called Boy at Sea. I wrote it 40 years after I had the experience from a journal that I had kept. And I've never been able to get a publisher interested in it. But I tell the stories, the two men I saw die, and the big storms at sea, the funny things that happened, and it is a coming-of-age, you know, it was my coming-of-age
right.
story. I wrote it as a novel because I didn't think people would believe it as a nonfiction.
So, Monty, talk about a little about Kim Fisher. And, actually, I'd like to talk about his wife, who, in her own right, before she was married
right.
to him, she was a treasure hunter, had done her own treasure hunting before she was
right.
even with Kim.
There's a lot of information about Kim in the other books. He's 6'5" tall. He looks like a movie star. And he was a captain of a boat when he was 16 years old. He was captain of a salvage boat, a 30-foot salvage boat. I mean, these kids were given huge responsibilities, at a very young age. So his story is told. The story of Lee, Lee married Kim, and they had met on an expedition to Ecuador. She had had raised money for treasure dives in Ecuador, you know, off of the Pacific, where a pirate treasure, real pirate treasure, had been recovered, and there was supposed to be a lot more of it. And she went after it year after year. She was a nurse. She was trained as a nurse, but she didn't like the attitudes of doctors toward women in general in medicine. So she trained and became a chiropractor, and she used her chiropractic practice to finance this search, this discovery lust that she had that sent her around the world. So she was as much an adventurer as Kim was. And frankly, her family, her father was a Navy pilot, and her family and brothers and sisters, they never thought she would marry anybody because no man could measure up to her.
But she found somebody who could.
Yeah, she did. And she fit right in because she was a diver. She would go anywhere they wanted to dive. She was right there. She was in the water. She was a spear fisherman. She could do all of that stuff. And she's a beautiful woman, too.
What is the Fisher family mostly working on now? Are you privy to that?
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, while I was doing the book, I was under contract that when they found the Lost Merchant, which is a new ship that they've been looking for years, and they feel like they're getting closer and closer, that if they found the Lost Merchant, I would drop whatever I was doing and rush to be the documentarian of finding. That could be another $500 million treasure. And they don't talk about it much because of competition. They'll tell you that, you know, it's a fictitious name. That's not the name of the ship, by the way. But they call it the Lost Merchant. And they've invested $3 to $4 million in the Dolores, which is this search vehicle. It can be autonomous. It can run free of a cable, or it can also be attached to a cable. But it can search. It has cameras. It has electronic devices. It's probably as good as anything the U.S. Navy has. And so they're looking. There's a diving season because of the weather, and it really starts in May and runs through September, sometimes into early October. They will go every day that the sea conditions will allow them. They got 2 90-foot major salvage boats, the Magruder and the Dare, and they go out every day looking for treasure.
When they find something, what prevents other people from coming and snatching it from them while they're doing it, while they're getting it?
I'm tempted to say shotgun, but I don't know if that's appropriate. They own the rights to the Santa Marita, Margarita, and the Atocha. So if you're a pirate and you go out there and get treasure, you can't do anything with it, because and there have been court cases that were adjudicated in their favor where people went out there and took things. One case involved emeralds, and one case involved silver and gold, and the pirates lost both cases. You can't go out into those waters where the fishers have legal claims and dive on their wrecks. They've established ownership of those.
I would think there's a black market for that kind of stuff, but...
Oh, sure, that too. Let me give a plug for my public radio station, WFDD, out of Wake Forest University, and we just got a tower. I had to search for signals often up here to listen to my favorite shows, and now we have a new tower in Boone. It's just up for a month, so I get the clear signal all the time. Diane Rehm Show, Card Talk, Prairie Home Companion, All Things Considered, BBC News, Wait, Don't Tell Me. I listen to public radio every day of my life.
Well, let me ask you this, Monty.
Uh-huh?
Are you a member?
Yeah, sure. Not only that, I gave the public television my car. I had a...
Oh.
My
plan giving, yeah.
Yeah, we accept those too here.
Yeah, I had a beautiful award out, though, a Explorer Sport. And So I donated that. It was they only got $550 out of it.
Well,
I was a little ashamed of that.
That's not, I mean, it's something, you know. We wouldn't mind a pledge for $550
yeah.
right now.
Yeah,
well,
right.
We want to thank you. It's been a pleasure. Monty joins. He's a journalist, author of fiction and nonfiction. He's a screenwriter and a poet. And he's written about the Fisher family for Love and Treasure, the life and times of the world's most successful treasure hunting family. And we thank you for writing the book, Monty, and for allowing us to offer it to our listeners. And we thank you for joining us today.
Okay, thank you, Miami, for listening.
Okay, today's the day.
Today's the day.
Yeah, and thank you, Mr. Joynes, for the endorsement of public radio. Peter Jay joining Bonnie Berman and Joseph Cooper. And you will find, if you look around South Florida and beyond, that folks who are interested in learning, interested in engaging in the community, interested in finding out more about where they live and why things happen where they live, you'll find that they're generally public radio listeners. Public radio listeners are pretty smart folks, and I think most of them, if not all, understand that public radio is funded most significantly by listener contributions. Of course, human nature is such that if you can turn on the radio and listen to something for free, you may not feel particularly motivated to contribute yourself. We would like to change that perception and that behavior, because every single pledge helps us get to our ultimate goal of $450,000. And to demonstrate that, we've knocked about $1,000 off of that goal just in the last few minutes, down to $241,000 to raise by the close of business on Thursday, hopefully sooner than that. We need to hear from you at 866-247-9576. That's 866-247-WLRN. We're online at WLRN.org. Right, Bonnie?
Yes, we are waiting to hear from you. Again, this is a great book. It's trade paperback, but it's really good quality, great pictures, color pictures for Love and Treasure by Monty Joynes that we've just been discussing with him. You can have an autographed copy of this. It'll be our pleasure to send you an autographed copy just to you when you make your $120 pledge or just $10 a month on our sustainer plan. We just have 25 copies altogether. Together, and we still have a few left. So the number to pick up the book, 1-866-247-9576, 1-866-247-WLRN, or pick it up online, WLRN.org.
And we'd like to invite you to have lunch with Bonnie Berman here and Joseph Cooper, the hosts of Topical Currents. This is becoming a tradition here during fundraising efforts. For $250, we'll welcome you to the studios here. You can observe the program from the control room and beforehand have a tasty lunch with Joseph and Bonnie. Joe, you're not going to be cooking, I hope.
No.
Okay, good.
We get really high class, really nice box lunches.
Okay.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Salmon, and you've had...
Well, I've had a great tofu dish. They have fish dishes. They have,
Just check.
I mean, I wish he would. He's a good cook, actually.
Yeah, so I hear. But we'd love to invite you to join Joseph and Bonnie for a pledge of $250. I mean, you can certainly count on this being a unique experience. It'd be a lot of fun, interesting conversation. Join us at 866-247-9576 or online at WLRN.org.
And Joe usually makes a plea out to Circle of Friends members, which is a group of people. Joe, you want to make your plea at $100 a month or more, or for a $1,200 pledge, you can become a Circle of Friends member.
And you get a lot of benefits with that from the station, but also we will throw in the lunch with Bonnie and Joe for that. And you can bring, perhaps you have a youngster, a high schooler, someone who's just started college who's interested in communications.
Mm-hmm.
It's good for them to come down and see how we put the program together. And we've had some youngsters do that, and they've really enjoyed it.
Yeah. So that would be for $100 a month on our sustainer plan, or a one-time pledge of $1,200 or more to become a Circle of Friends member. Again, that's not for everybody, but for those of you who can't afford it and would like to take advantage of it, we would love to hear from you.
You get to go to a lot of events, and that's great for business networking, public radio
mm-hmm.
listeners.
Yeah.
And they even get a special gift, which is the NPR Boombox and a Thimble. It's a small blue... tooth speaker that can be attached to your smartphone, tablet,
crazy
or
sound
any other
from that
gadget.
Thing.
Yeah,
it's wonderful.
Great.
It's wonderful. Last call on the book, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to pick up this fascinating book, For Love and Treasure by Monty Joines, autographed by the author and Lee Fisher, now is your chance and probably your final chance. That's for a $120 pledge or $10 a month at 866-247-9576 or WLRN.org.
And again, you'll also be entered into the drawing that we're having today. Two drawings. One is for just today, and it's for an HD radio, so you can hear classical music in addition to news and information. That we'll be giving away today, but you can also be entered into our grand prize for our membership campaign, which is a six-night stay at the Aqua Wellness Resort in Nicaragua. The main thing is to support the programming. Yeah. We offer you all these wonderful things, but it's just to get you to just come forward and become a listener contributor. 866-247-9576 or WLRN.org.
North Broward Preparatory School's 80-acre campus in Coconut Creek offers an early childhood program, lower school, middle school, high school, special programs, and boarding. North Broward Preparatory School is committed to offering an enriched curriculum that fosters critical and creative thinking, supported by innovative educational technology and a vibrant fine arts program. Their personalized approach can enable students to succeed in school, college, and beyond. North Broward Preparatory School. Information at 954-247-0179 or nbps.org.
This Saturday at 8 p.m., South Motors Jazz at Pinecrest Gardens presents Ed Kaye in concert, featuring his latest album release, Mom Blue, the 305 All-Star Big Band. Known for his extraordinary ability to play bebop, Latin, and contemporary jazz as a featured artist, Ed also appears on Grammy Award-winning albums by Frank Sinatra, Vicky Carr, Arturo Sandoval, and on numerous TV shows and soundtracks. Hailed as the most recorded saxophone player in the world, you can find more information about this night of great jazz at pinecrestgardens.org.
And thanks for tuning in, and especially thanks to those who made a pledge. We really count on you. Our producer, Richard Ive, technical supervision by Michael Stock. Of course, we have free audio archives at our website. That's WLRN.org. And also, see the Topical Currents Facebook page.
That's Facebook.com/Topical Currents. And hey, not too late to make your contribution. In fact, we're waiting to hear from you. 866-247-9576, online, WLRN.org.
And if you happen to take advantage of this opportunity to join Joe and Bonnie for this program, you can watch Joe orchestrate the closing theme at the end of the show.
He's trying to get the theme to come down
now.
Down
a little bit, yes.
He looks just like a conductor, folks. You have to see it.
He did it in front of James Judd when James Judd was on the
show.
Oh,
that's terrific.
That takes some chutzpah.
Yeah.
I'll say.
And join us tomorrow for another Topical Currents edition of our popular Members Only edition. Bonnie and I have fun with those members who call in on the air. And if you pledge now, then you can phone in with your public radio listening and membership story. That would be tomorrow.
Right, and we let you do the talking about why you became a member instead of us imploring you and giving you reasons as to why you should.
Yep. You get tired of listening to us.
Mm-hmm. And some of those testimonies have been better than what we have.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, yes.
We record them.
866-247-9576.
We do have fun on Members Only, but it's a serious topic in a sense because we do need listener support of the regional programming that you hear each and every day on this station. Otherwise, we'd just be a cookie cutter of other radio stations, Bonnie.
That's right. It's what distinguishes us. So please support that with a pledge, 866-247-9576, or it's simple, 2 minutes, online, WLRN.org.
Still have the book available.
And the lunch, and the HD radio, and the trip to Nicaragua. So give a call. 866-247-9576.
Stay tuned now for Here and Now from NPR News.